რადიო თავისუფლება FM 107.4.
ეთერშია ახალი ამბების გამოშვება. საქართველოს საგარეო საქმეთა მინისტრად დაინიშნა თამარ ბერუჩაშვილი. ეუთოს განცხადებით აღმოსავლეთ უკრაინაში მატულობს კონფლიქტის ესკალაციის საფრთხე. შეთანხმებების თანახმად რუსეთმა ირანში 8 ატომური ელექტროსადგური უნდა ააგოს. საქართველოს პრემიერ-მინისტრმა ირაკლი ღარიბაშვილმა საგარეო საქმეთა მინისტრის პოსტზე დანიშნა თამარ ბერუჩაშვილი, რომელიც ბოლო დრომდე საგარეო საქმეთა მინისტრის მოადგილე იყო. პრემიერმა ახალი მინისტრის საგანგებო ბრიფინგზე წარადგინა. წინა მინისტრი მაია ფანჯიკიძე თანამდებობიდან გადადგა 5 ნოემბერს. მას შემდეგ რაც პრემიერ-მინისტრმა თავდაცვის მინისტრი ირაკლი ალასანია გაათავისუფლა თანამდებობიდან. გადადგომის მიზეზად მინისტრები ასახელებდნენ საქართველოს ევროატლანტიკური კურსისთვის გარკვეული საფრთხეების გამოკვეთას. ფანჯიკიძესთან ერთად თანამდებობები დატოვეს მისმა მოადგილეებმა. ბერუჩაშვილის ჩათვლით, თუმცა ბერუჩაშვილმა და კიდევ ერთმა მოადგილემ დავით ჯალაღანიამ მოგვიანებით გადაწყვეტილება შეცვალეს და თანამდებობაზე დარჩნენ. გადადგომის გადაწყვეტილება არ შეუცვლია მხოლოდ დავით ზალკალიანს. გადადგომის შემდეგ ბერუჩაშვილიც აცხადებდა, რომ ქართველი ხალხის ევროპული არჩევანი საფრთხეშია, თუმცა დღეს ამბობს, რომ საქართველოს კურსი შეუქცევადია.
კურსი არის შეუქცევადი, ეს არის ჩვენი ეროვნული და მე ვიტყოდი ეგზისტენციალური არჩევანი. არც ერთ თავრობას არ ექნება იმის ფუფუნება, რომ ამ კურს გადაუხვიოთ. რაც შეეხება ჩემ ეჭვებს, რომელიც მხოლოდ რამდენიმე საათი გაგრძელდა, როგორც ეს გამოჩნდა, მინდა ვთქვა, რომ ეს იყო უფრო ემოციური, სოლიდარული გაუგებრობა. დიდი მადლობა ბატონ პრემიერ-მინისტრს, ასევე თავრობის სხვა წევრებს, რომელთაც ძალიან მკაფიოდ და ნათლად უპასუხებს ჩემ შეკითხვებს.
განაცხადა ბერუჩაშვილმა. ეუთო აცხადებს, რომ აღმოსავლეთ უკრაინაში მატულობს კონფლიქტის ესკალაციის საფრთხე. კიევში 11 ნოემბერს გამართულ პრესკონფერენციაზე ეუთოს სადამკვირვებლო მისიის წარმომადგენელმა მაიკლ ბოციურკოვმა განაცხადა, რომ უკრაინასა და პრორუსულად განწყობილ სეპარატისტებს შორის ორ თვეზე მეტია, რაც გაფრომდა საზავო შეთანხმება, მაგრამ სროლა არ შეწყვეტილა. არის შეშფოთება, რომ პრორუსულად განწყობილი მეამბოხეები შესაძლოა აღმოსავლეთ უკრაინაში ახალი შეტევისთვის ემზადებოდნენ, 5 სექტემბერს გაფორმებული საზავო შეთანხმების მიუხედავად. ასეთ ფონზე გერმანიის კანცლერმა ანგელა მერკელმა 5 ნოემბერს კიდევ ერთხელ განაცხადა, რომ ევროკავშირის წევრი ქვეყნები აპირებენ მოგზაურობის აკრძალვის სიაში ჩართონ აღმოსავლეთ უკრაინაში ახლადარჩეული სეპარატისტი ლიდერები. თუმცა, როგორც მერკელმა ბერლინში თქვა, ევროკავშირი არ გეგმავს რუსეთისთვის ახალი სანქციების დაწესებას. პეკინში აზია-წყნარი ოკეანის რეგიონის სამიტის კულუარებში შეერთებული შტატების პრეზიდენტმა ბარაკ ობამამ და რუსეთის პრეზიდენტმა ვლადიმერ პუტინმა განიხილეს ირანთან, სირიასთან და უკრაინასთან დაკავშირებული საკითხები. შეერთებული შტატების ეროვნული უშიშროების საბჭოს პრესმდივანმა ბერნადეტ მიჰანმა განაცხადა, რომ საერთო ჯამში პუტინმა და ობამამ დაახლოებით 15-20 წუთის განმავლობაში ისაუბრეს. მიჰანმაც და რუსეთის ოფიციალურმა პირებმაც განაცხადეს, რომ მათი საუბარი შეეხო ირანს, სირიას და უკრაინას. დეტალები არც ერთ მხარეს არ გაურცელებია. ცივი ომის შემდგომ პერიოდში ვაშინგტონსა და მოსკოვს შორის კავშირები ყველაზე მეტადაა გაუარესებული. რუსეთს დაწესებული აქვს დასავლეთის სანქციები ყირიმის ანექსირების და აღმოსავლეთ უკრაინაში სეპარატისტების მხარდაჭერის გამო. 10 ნოემბერს შეერთებულმა შტატებმა რუსეთს ბრალი დასდო სეპარატისტების მომარაგებაში ტანკებით და სხვა სახის მძიმე შეიარაღებით და მოსკოვს მოუწოდა შეწყვიტოს ცეცხლზე ნავთის დასხმა. რუსეთი ირანში ააგებს 2 ატომურ ელექტროსადგურს იმ შეთანხმებების თანახმად, რომლებიც მოსკოვში გაფორმდა და საბოლოო ანგარიშით ირანში 8 სადგურის მშენებლობას ითვალისწინებს. 11 ნოემბრის შეთანხმების ფონია ირანსა და მსოფლიოს 6 წამყვანი ქვეყნისთვის, მათ შორის რუსეთისთვის, დაწესებული ბოლო ვადის 24 ნოემბრის მოახლოება იმ შეთანხმების მისაღწევად, რომელმაც ირანის ბირთვული პროგრამა უნდა შეზღუდოს. დასავლეთი შიშობს, რომ ეს პროგრამა შესაძლოა ატომური იარაღის შემუშავებას ისახავდეს მიზნად, თუმცა ირანი ამბრალდებას უარყოფს და აცხადებს, რომ პროგრამა მხოლოდ მშვიდობიან მიზნებს ატარებს. შეერთებულმა შტატებმა 50 სამხედროსგან შემდგარი არასაბრძოლო დანაყოფი გაგზავნა ერაყის დასავლეთში მდებარე ანბარის პროვინციის საჰაერო ბაზაზე. პენტაგონის განცხადებით, ისინი სამხედრო მრჩევლები არიან და განთავსებულ იქნენ ანბარის ყველაზე დიდ აინ ალ ასადის საჰაერო ბაზაზე. ამ ძირითადად სუნიტებით დასახლებული პროვინციის დიდ ნაწილს აკონტროლებენ ისლამური სახელმწიფოს ექსტრემისტები. ანბარში კონტინგენტის გაგზავნის ცნობა პირველია მას შემდეგ, რაც შეერთებული შტატების ხელმძღვანელობით მოქმედმა კოალიციამ აგვისტოში დაიწყო საჰაერო დარტყმების განხორციელება ისლამური სახელმწიფო სამიზნეებზე. ლაპარაკობს რადიო თავისუფლება, ეს იყო ახალი ამბების გამოშვება. ახალ ამბებს უფრო ცვლად გაეცნობით ჩვენი რადიოს ვებსაიტზე. მისი მისამართია რადიო თავისუფლება წერტილი GE.
It's Border Crossings with Larry London from VOA Music Mix.
Hi, I'm Larry London. Welcome to Border Crossings, your station for the latest hit music by request, dedication, and occasionally we welcome special guests into our studios. Today, we are honored to have a group that have already been on the charts in the past year. They're on tour right now promoting their latest album, New Politics, are here today on Border Crossings. Hang around.
Summer's come, but I don't know why. It's so damn hard for me to do things right. But maybe if you just let me try, I can make you a believer. Make you a believer. You keep me hanging.
Hi, this is Larry London. We welcome you to Border Crossings. Very excited about today's show. We have in the studio a group of three guys, very, very popular right now. They've had hits on the radio and on television recently, Harlem and Yeah. These guys are really, really big right now, and they're on tour. We welcome to Washington and to our studios, New Politics. Welcome, guys.
Thank you so much. Hello. Thanks for having us.
It's great to have you. It's an honor to have you in our studios. First of all, how has the tour been going? Because I know you guys have been on the road for a little bit here in the U.S., so how's it been going for you?
It's been going really well. We actually, today is the first day of our headline tour that we're starting here in D.C. But we've been touring a lot. We actually haven't had a break for almost two years since that the previous album came out and did well on the radio. So, I don't know, we are living a dream that something we always wanted, and it's absolutely amazing. Mm.
Well, I know that the new tour started today, but you've been on the road with Fall Out Boy, with Paramore, with Pink. The list goes on and on and on. It seems like you haven't really had a break. You know, there hasn't been any downtime for you guys.
Absolutely.
Well, that's a good problem.
Yeah.
I think it's right. Soren was right. Almost a solid 2 years we've been out. Just
really
bouncing.
Exciting.
Yeah. Bouncing
and growing,
tours.
Inspired to do more, bigger things.
Yeah.
And you've done a lot of festivals too.
You've done, you know.
So do you prefer the smaller crowds or the big 50,000 people crowd? What do you have a preference?
I think it's more like the vibe and like the energy of the crowd more than what size it is. But a big crowd that has a lot of energy is pretty wild.
It's awesome.
I remember us playing recently the Firefly Festival, and that was like, I think there were 10,000 people, and it was just
it was insane,
mad, like as far as the eye could see, it was hands in the air, just like crowd surfing out to, I don't know where it was, like, and crowd it's surfing in Jupiter.
It's even better when you're when it's like a surprise too, because you know we didn't know what to expect, and we just walked out on stage and everybody was just going crazy. So it was,
yeah, we still don't know.
We don't know what to expect tonight. It's our first show on the headline tour. We're out with Bad Sons and Some Kind of Wonderful, and we're excited.
Now, how long have you guys been living in the United States or working in the, or are you not? You're still living, you have hosts back in?
We live in Brooklyn, New York.
Okay.
4 years. I think we're on a fourth year now. Louis actually is from here. He's the American in the band. Yes. He's the crazy one.
Tour guide.
Or the other way around.
So what was the biggest change or adjustment that you guys went through when you first came over 4 years ago, getting used to living here in the U.S.?
I think, at least for me, I can say that I, you know, when you grow up somewhere, you kind of want to get out of there very fast. It's like I think a very common thing for people who, you know, like you move to a big city if you're from the country, or, you know, you want something that's different. And America has always been a thing where, you know, we always wanted to come over here since we met. It was one of our goals. Mm-hmm. But the funny thing is that what has been the hardest thing to adjust to, it's all the little things that, like, first you go through a phase where you realize that friends and family are at home in a different country, and you actually don't really know anyone. Maybe you get acquainted, is that the name, the word, with people, but you don't necessarily really know them. So you have to meet new friends, and then it's all the little things like food and those kind of things. Mm-hmm. But now that we've been here for so long, this feels like the place where you wake up here, and you, like, hearing people speak Danish now is one of the weirdest things for me, at least.
And so when the holidays come, you probably miss family the most is around the holiday time. And you're on the road, so you're not going to be going back to perform in Denmark during the holidays, I assume. You're not going back for a while.
I don't know. We don't know yet. We're booked all the way to like the 22nd of December. Mm-hmm. So, and I think we've tried it a few times now where we've like planned stuff out and it never goes really according to plan. So we decided we'd wait till the 22nd of December. But definitely, if there's free time, my priority is definitely going to be going to Denmark and Sweden to see family, because I just had this period now where I've really missed them. You know, like when like friends comment like on my Instagram or Facebook or Twitter, then I'm just like, oh, far.
And you're missing all these great moments, you know, as you guys are young, and all your buds, your best friends, you know, back home,
totally,
going through their weddings and things that you can't attend.
Or getting children, and
yeah, exactly.
You're out on the road. I mean, we'd never, I don't think we would change anything, because being on the road is like, and living out this that we're doing is really a roller coaster ride, and I mean that in the best possible way. You know, not like, it's just a very weird, you know, there's constant change. It's just like,
it's a love hate relationship is what he's trying to say.
But the people, you
but
know.
But not a bad hate. Yeah, you know, it's not like a bad hate.
Oh, sure.
You've never traded for anything.
The people who, you know, fans of yours and people who are just fans of music in general, don't recognize or realize how hard it is to do what you do. To be at radio stations, TV stations, on stage, in a bus, headed here, headed there, constantly working over and over and over, writing music. You have to keep yourself, you know, fresh and relevant and come up with new material. They just think, hey, what a party life it must be. All you do is sing and, you know,
but
meet
it is
girls
also,
and whatever. But it
that's what I mean. It's like there's two sides to it, because at the same time, you can't complain, because it's so much fun and it's so incredible and it's so great, especially when you're having success, because, you know, you see your hard work pay off, and that's the biggest price of, you know, like that's one of the biggest things that makes you happy, you know, or at least for me, I'm sure for these guys as well. I see it
definitely.
And we feel it, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's like, of course it's hard work, but it's like, it's your hard work, you know, and when it pays off, and your fans are a huge part of that. That's like, they've helped us like beyond more than they know, you know, just with all the support and love. And I mean, everyone coming out tonight, or, you know, new and old fans and this, and, you know, it's like, it's becomes like a journey, like that you get very attached to.
Absolutely.
It's like, it's a very addicting thing. Mm. A better addiction than other things out there.
Yes. Considering the alternatives.
I had a kind of one of those experiences yesterday where, because we have a lot of electronics in our set, and I was preparing a lot of that yesterday, and then at some point I got to you get to the point where you're like, I can't do this anymore, because there's been days and days and days, and then you see some of our fans from all over the world actually had made this video. I went outside and I watched it, and I was like, all right. And then, you know, you go back and then you do your thing and you do it with joy. Because like David said, it is your hard work that's paying off. It's so true. You know, you really, you know, to some degree,
it's like a miracle. Like to think that like 4 years ago, we were like in a basement or like in a rehearsal place and we were doing music in Nabo, in our like neighborhood. And it was like, you know, this was just like a spark of an idea, mm-hmm. you know, that just was, it was like just something that we threw out there and then we kind of like aimed for it and tilted our work towards it and somehow like, you know, got there. And now we're living in New York, met Lewis, which has become like a huge part of our life, you know, and vice versa. And now we're like, you know, and we're all on board on the same thing. And it's just to see that now, like, this is what we make a living off of. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, it's a miracle. You know, when you really look at it in that sense, it's wild.
I'm feeling powerless. I'm feeling hopeless. I see the world beneath us open to the darkness. I see it everywhere. There's no progress. It's like I'm slowly giving in to all the madness.
I stand here imperfect right before you. Been searching so long for a way to get through. Swallow the universe, abandon my youth. I still can't forsake what I feel is true. I was made out of dust by a voice in the wind. To conquer my fears and rise like a king. I will always evolve and never give in. I will follow my dreams cause I know I will win.
And if you don't take a stand, you won't understand. We will overcome.
Justify what I did through the pain, sweat, and tears. I have learned to forgive. So live out your life, cause it is a gift. And rise up above, take the whole world with you. I stand in naked, this is my truth. Hold on to your innocence and beauty of youth. And don't forget the power lies within. Being born in a crime, you can be what you want to.
And if you don't take a stand, you won't understand. I see the world beneath us open to the darkness. I see it everywhere. There's no progress. It's like I'm slowly giving in to all the madness. We will overcome. We will overcome. It's written in the wind. Set the wheels in motion.
Will be very different for you when you do finally go home back to Denmark to visit family and friends, because you'll be looked at differently and received differently. You left pursuing your dream. You've been on the charts. You've sold millions of records. You go back home. It's not the same. You aren't the, you guys have made it. you're stars.
Yeah.
So you go back home, you'd be like, not only were you stars there, but you now became stars internationally.
We actually never really did.
We never really broke in Denmark, actually, funny enough.
Really?
Like, because it went so fast, the labels here heard it. Mm-hmm. And then they were just like, they kind of offered us through YouTube and other things. And so it was like, we kind of skipped it. But I mean, we're definitely known and we get played on the radio there and stuff like that. But I think America is definitely our biggest market with Canada, France, England, Germany. Like, it's good. Mm-hmm. We're in a good place.
Good place.
But there's still a lot of work, which is also a great thing.
Did you just get it started?
Yeah, but I know what you mean because, like, a funny incident is like, or incident that happened was, I know, like, when I talk to friends back home and stuff, it's funny sometimes to relate because we're like somewhere completely different. And we've gone through so much. It's, you know, we've done so many shows and we've met so many people and we've done this, you know, if it's performing on Jimmy Fallon or if it's the pre-party VMAs and being at after parties and this and whatnot. And you know, this sometimes the life gets pretty wild. And I mean that in an awesome way, the life of the party, you know, and it's like you go through so much and you meet people in this. And sometimes when you go and, you know, it's kind of always a hit in the head. I don't mean it in a bad way, just in an awkward way, because there's like a thing of relating. It's like, oh yeah, you know, I still work at Netto, or you know, or I'm still this, which isn't. I don't say that in a bad way, but it's just kind of like, how do you explain to someone what your lifestyle is? How do you explain that you were in Nashville yesterday and rented out this and did this and then drove from a festival, you know, in Wilmington in North Carolina, and we're on a bus, and then we're starting a tour, and you know, we sold out some of the tour already, and it's like these things, like, how do you explain all these things that are happening? It becomes kind of like it's a little like misplaced when you're talking, like that's how I feel, because it's just funny to relate in that way, like you were saying, you know, in that sense it's funny. So, but then it's also really nice to just take, you know, to take a deep breath and just like, ah, let me get a beer and let me just like chill and put on, you know, and do this and
be
and
normal.
Yeah, right, you know, like right. Totally.
The funny thing is my mind works completely different like that. I actually think whenever I hear those kind of things, I think no, we're not even close. Like, you know, we haven't even, we need, like, in my head, we're not even halfway successful yet. I'm, you know, that's how my,
I think, but it's not even about that.
No, but it's like, that's also one of your qualities. You're always like, you're this shining star of positivity. And I'm the guy who's like, no, we need to do more. You know, it's always been the dynamic.
Yeah. That's so funny.
Yeah.
I'm always like, we need to do more. We need to push.
Soren's the half, we have that joke, half empty. Half empty.
But no, but you know, I'm a positive guy, but it's like, it's like, I don't see success until I don't even know where it is, but I'll know it hopefully one day if it comes, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well,
that's the thing, it's never going to, you're never going to be satisfied
right.
Like that.
Yeah,
you'll have like the happiness will come like as you go and you see things change, mm-hmm. but you'll never be, and I know that's why we always keep writing, that's why we keep working, that's why we keep this. But the idea of relating, like I had my stepbrother come over here, and it's like for him it's just like, you made it. He couldn't believe it. He came to Vegas and blah, and it was wild. And we had all this incredible time, and there's a little more money now and this. And it's like, you know, paying for his flight tickets and this and food and whatnot and things like that. And it's, for him, it's just like, you know, and it's like far from done, you know?
Right.
Like in that sense, I mean, to relate it, because I'm there, I'm like, God, this is like so far from, you know, it's like we have so much to do, but it's like you're still in that like sort of hustle path, and it's like,
sure.
But then how do you relate? Because it's like at the same time you are selling out venues and doing these crazy things, and your lifestyle is like, you know, you have a hotel room and you're doing this. And
I think also too, like it's like a different view coming from Europe and being an American, because I see it like, for me, coming up, all I did was play in garage bands and bands, and this is success. Like the fact that we just have a bus, like to me, like that I look at this like, wow, like this is made, you know, like, because whenever I would go see a show and there'd be a bus out there, I'd be like, oh wow, there's a big band here. Doesn't matter like if they were selling millions of records or whatever, but like to me, that's how, you know. But it's weird, it's funny how like everyone has a different, but we'll never stop, so
right.
Because it's like a step of happiness, like oh, that's something we spoke about like a year and a half ago, getting a bus or something, you know?
Yeah, and it's like it's
and then it comes, you know, it's like,
Well, that's what makes it interesting, is that everybody has a different perspective. Everybody has different thoughts.
Totally.
And you guys have you know, done so much in a short amount of time that you are, as Soren says, you know, just touching the surface right now. There's a lot left to be done. And we're thrilled about you guys being here in studio, and you're on tour for the second album. I believe it's the second album, right? It's not, unless
it's
you're promoting
our third
album.
It will be. We're still on the second album, but hopefully in the new year we'll release the third. The single's out, the first single.
Right. And so we're going to talk about that. I guess you signed up with Pete Wentz's label and stuff. So we'll talk about that as we go. But I'm going to ask you to do a song right now.
Absolutely.
We got everybody excited and ready to hear. And
hopefully we can give now.
Yeah. New politics.
Should I believe in the world, Mama? Should I give up and hide, or should I stay and fight? Should I believe in the rules, Mama? Tell me if I should run or learn to shoot a gun. I don't know what to believe, Mama, 'cause I'm down on my knees. I'm begging, please help me back on my feet, Mama, 'cause I need something to believe in.
Tonight you're perfect. I wanna fall in love with the stars in your eyes. Tonight you're perfect. I wanna fall in love, but only for the night. Perfect too.
Oh, 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 oh. You won't believe what I've seen, Mama. There's a fire inside, there's a storm on the rise. It's in the air that we breathe, Mama. Can I speak out my mind in these changing times? Give me a reason to be, Mama, 'cause I'm down on my knees. I'm begging, please help me back on my feet, Mama, 'cause I need something to believe in.
Tonight you're perfect. I wanna fall in love with the stars in your eyes. Tonight you're perfect. I wanna fall in love, but only for the night. Perfect too.
Lewis.
Oh, 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 oh.
That.
Yeah, sounding great. Good New morning. Politics. Woo, this is Border Crossings. We got the guys in our studio, Lewis, David, and Soren, who are on tour right now for the second album you're touring for, right? That's what you're promoting?
I guess so. What would it be?
A new single. Perfect.
And a follow-up, I guess a follow-up of also. We did a tour for this album already earlier in the year.
Mm-hmm.
And,
last year.
Was it last year? Wasn't it January this year?
Was it really?
Yeah.
Radyo Tavisupleba, FM az 7.4.
Radyo Tavisupleba, FM 107.4.
Ol ve 30 saat sada 30 saat rüze, tavazıp nakhevar saatiyen Azerbaycanul programız.
Size her gün Tbilisi vaxtıyla saat 20.30'dan 21'e kadar Azatlık Radyosu'nun verişlerini dinlemeye teklif edirik.
Bizi 107.4 FM'de dinleyin.
Kvisminyet Kofelte, FM az 7.4. Radyo Tavisupleba.
A lot of people, this is maybe like one of the biggest lessons I've ever learned in life, that when you do certain things and you keep believing in it, because if you don't do it, you always come back to it. So, and I think that's, it doesn't matter what it is, it could be music, or it could be anything, mm-hmm. you know, you have this thing that you love doing and you always come back to it. And for music, you know, when we got some kind of acknowledgement for what we were doing, that was, you know, that makes you, you look at it and you're like, oh, all these struggles,
validation, worthwhile.
Yeah, that's so. I think for that whole competition was definitely the start of the band.
Now, how did you come up with the name New Politics?
That is.
I think it was.
Everyone looks at each other.
Yeah. It was. I think it was something that mainly came from our old A&R at RCA, mm-hmm. Sony Records.
Okay. They picked the name.
We were called Politics, mm-hmm. and there was some legal issues on Riker String and stuff. So we had the opportunity. You know, we of course, before it went official, we kind of made sure that we fixed that. And he just kind of joked about Spinal Tap. And, you know, how they were called the Originals, and there was some other band called that or some other thing. Mm-hmm. So they called it the New Originals. So we kind of got inspired. As you can see, we take ourselves very seriously.
Well, you guys have fun, and I think that's a large part of keeping the band happy and relaxed, good attitude, you know, and all that stuff. And you're putting music together, because it's not easy to do when you're on the road. Three guys, you know, you all have different interests and different lives, you know, beyond music. And to make it work, you know, year after year after year, day after day, it's not easy.
Totally.
Yeah. Now, you write together, or does one person do the writing, or what's the process?
We write together. Yeah.
Oh, it's kind of collective. You say, okay, yeah. I got an idea. Hey, let's expand on it.
I think especially this new album we did a lot of it. We, you know, over time it was like little ideas here and there, but I think a lot of it came on actually in the back of the bus. Mm-hmm. We brought out a little studio, and then we would be sitting and doing horrible demos at 3 o'clock at night, and then we would send, every time we had two or three, we would send them to the management and say, what do you think of these? What do you think of these? And then it ended up being pretty efficient, and we ended up doing a lot, especially in a certain period of the tour, and then a few weeks at home and stuff. So we ended up writing a ton of ideas, and mm-hmm. and luckily the album was, I think we were all so inspired, because all we had been doing was touring, and you know, we suddenly we are a band that you know, we have fans, and that whole thing is so inspiring, where we see the venues, the capacity is growing, and mm-hmm. and all these things, and we are out with these awesome bands, and so we've just been so inspired by the whole ride that we actually wrote it pretty fast. That was a really cool feeling.
A lot of people may not know, but your music was used in Frozen, I guess, the commercials for the film Frozen.
The commercial, yeah.
Harlow's
Wild.
That's kind of cool.
Pretty crazy.
That's there so you are cool. In a movie theater with a bunch of, you know, 6-year-old, 7-year-old girls. And then, hey, there we are.
Yeah. When it gets
loud. We actually recorded the Disney version of the song.
Did you really?
Yeah, we did.
It was great.
It was awesome. Basically, I don't know how many times we said shake it. It was like, when it gets loud.
Shake it.
It was like, there was so many shake it in it.
Do you remember where you were the first time you heard your music on the radio?
Yes.
Driving through the grapevine.
Yep. At like four,
coming
was like
into L.A., we had a show at the Troubadour, I think, and we were driving in K-Rock, the radio station, mm-hmm. K-Rock out there.
Sure.
Played it. I think it was 4 a.m.
We were all asleep. Yeah. And everyone just like,
is that us?
I actually think somebody
messy
was asking,
like,
is somebody playing
smiled.
It on another
side? Wake up, listen to this.
We were making sure it wasn't a tape or CD.
Someone like had to sign the record.
Once, this is actually a good one. Once on the first album, we were driving, and then suddenly it was like, oh my god, our song is on the radio, oh, this is amazing. And then suddenly there was like, they're playing another one of our songs, this is incredible.
But this is not a single.
And then suddenly it's like, wait a second. It's my iPod.
I was charging my iPod up front.
Oh, such a bummer.
And we just like had kind of gotten bad news, like, oh, the album, we're going to move on now. Let's start working on, you know, like a new album. So we're kind of like, that was at the end of the first album.
Right.
So it's kind of like, you know, you like have all these attachments and you're like, no, but this song could have done this. I bet if we push this, that's the problem. Everybody has the right answer.
Right.
And it's like, and then, you know, until you let it go, you don't create new, you know.
New politics on the border crossings here on the Voice of America here in D.C. They're going many, many different places throughout the U.S. If people are coming to the U.S. from outside of the country, they want to see your show, I assume the tour listing is on your website. Where can people go? What's the website address so people can check you out?
That would be newpoliticsrock.com.
Newpoliticsrock.com.
Yes.
And I imagine you're also doing Facebook and Twitter and all that stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Twitter's New Politics. Just that New Politics, right?
Yeah, Snapchat, everything, Vine, name it.
And if you could describe your music, how would you describe it as a band? I know that a lot of bands say, I don't want to be put in a box, and I don't want to, you know. But if you could kind of, you know, tell people around the world who may or may not know.
I guess if there would be like a category for it, it would be like alternative rock, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's. I mean, that's what it is. It's still pop, but it's definitely alternative.
We definitely have a punk influence, too.
Yeah, and then we have all, and I think that's what alternative rock is. It's like whatever, like old elements that are kind of mixed in with new and whatever, like, I mean, the details of it that you would have to listen for yourself, you know, as a listener.
Mm-hmm. Now, be honest, why did you get into music? Was it for the girls? Most people get into music as guys, young guys.
Looking
the
back
girls.
At it, it probably was. I don't know. I think it's, actually, I was too young to even think about girls back then. I don't know. One of my friends' dad was a very famous folk singer in Denmark, and he gave me a one of those mini keyboards, and I just was I was obsessed with it. And then later on, it was probably the girls.
Later the girls.
Most likely.
It was a combination. I grew up. My dad is a musician, and I. You know, like, I tried my whole entire life to not play drums because it came very easy to me. I just had it. So I did everything else. And I was just, like, kind of good at, like, you know, soccer and kind of good at, like, all the sports and stuff. And I'll never forget, like, I played my first, like, show, like, in a cover band on Long Island, New York. And I got, like, $100. And it clicked at that point in my head. I was like, oh, my God, I can make money. I can make a living. I'll never have to work. I think that I was really young. I was like still in high school, and I think that's what.
How about when you saw?
Oh yeah, MTV, but that was young. I saw like Motley Crue video, Tommy Lee like with flames, and I was like, that's exactly
set me
who
on
I
fire.
Need to be. Yeah,
set me on fire. Rotate me.
That's it. Rotate me. Yeah. New Politics are in the studio. I mentioned that you've signed up with Pete Wentz's record label from Fall Out Boy. That come about when you were on tour with Fall Out Boy? You liked what you did, or how did that?
Yeah. Well, we've met him. We actually met him when we first moved over here, and he was always. We didn't know much of his band, Cern and I, or about Fall Out Boy and stuff. We've heard of them and stuff, but we weren't. You know, it wasn't like. We knew anything about their music. Lewis, you had a period where you kind of like.
Yeah, I was big. Not a big fan, but you know,
like of that era of music.
Yeah, that whole.
It didn't really come cross over. I don't think that much to Denmark. You had to really be in the scene, I think, to know it. But we met him, and he was just super, super nice back then. He was just like, you know, I really liked your album and this, and just really friendly. So every time we've met him or bumped into him, you know, if it was like. By chance on an airplane or something, you know, it's just conversation, and he was just really always sweet with us. And eventually we went on tour with them when they had their comeback, and we just released Harlem. It was doing well on radio, and it was like a perfect tour to go on. And we just became friends there and kind of closer. And when the time came, you know, they offered like, yeah, why don't we, you know, I'd love to have you guys. And I've always respected what you did and this and bum and the other way around, you know, we thought it was a good move. Yeah, it felt right.
They've been so good to us. All of those guys have taken us on so many tours now, and I think that's where we really saw things, you know, changing for us is when they started taking us out. And they have. I don't know how, you know, a lot of bands have different kind of. Fans that you can see that this is like a very nourished fan base that that, you know, they have taken so good care of them, and yeah, it's just they, we, you know, when you go out with a band, you don't know what to expect from their fans, because sometimes they're there to see the headliner and not the opening band. So we were super surprised when we did the first tour with them. They just have this really positive fan base. Some of the other bands we've toured with, it's been the same. That's such a it was just such a perfect match, and we went crazy, and it seemed like everybody was in a good mood when they went on and stuff. So we just did, I think we did like maybe three, we did two pretty big tours with them, and then we did or two very big tours, and then we did some small 14 days here and there in Europe and stuff. So, and they just, it's awesome people. There was just a perfect match, and when they opened DCD2, we were excited to do that.
The first artist that they signed.
Yeah.
And we were grateful. Super. We're excited. It's a new journey now. We're signed with them and then Warner Music, so through Warner. And, it's really exciting. They're super, they love the music, the new music, and just, it's great.
Yeah, you guys have come so far in the 4 years since you did the South by Southwest Music Conference, and you guys were newbies kind of in the U.S. Totally. And then looked huge, superstars, and now they're in our studios and hear us. No, new politics. We're thrilled to have you guys here, and if you could do another song, that would
absolutely
be appreciated.
I need to tune my guitar.
All right, no problem.
Sorry, this is like
while he's tuning his guitar, you don't have much of an accent. He still has a little bit of the Danish accent.
My father is actually from America.
Oh, there you go.
And I've never lived here. I've always had dual citizenship, and I went to an international school growing up. And then it was just kind of a rule to speak English at home. My dad was very particular. I was raised to be proud that I was also American. So, but moving here really made me realize how not American I am.
What's been the biggest change for you, do you think, adjustment?
To me, it's everything from the taste of water to how the beds are, how the toilets
taste
are.
Taste of water?
Yeah, like,
wow.
Here it just tastes very like chlorine or like...
Yes,
like
all the chemicals they put in.
Yeah, there's a lot of...
I wouldn't want to taste water that wasn't chemically treated.
Yeah.
That's also true.
It's funny because when we go to
Europe... But the funny thing is that now that I'm here, now when I go back to Europe, I'm like, why is the bed so small? And where's the AC? You know, like... All of those things, like in the beginning when there was AC, I would just get clogged up. You know, there's just so many things to adapt to. Also, just how you approach, how you socially speak to a woman or something. You know, here you have to kind of work for it. You have to show that you're interested in this. I think in Scandinavia, it's a little bit reversed. Maybe you seem a little bit like too desperate if you just go up to girls all the time. I mean, but then again, not really. It depends. Now I'm speaking general. It depends on the situation and who.
Interesting.
But there was just so many things. I remember sitting at a bar with Lewis and we're writing. This is like 2.5 years ago or something. And
in Sweden?
No, in the States, in Brooklyn, at some bar. And he's like, dude, are you going to go up and talk to her? She keeps looking at you. And I was like... Yeah, but she's just looking. It's like, no, that is in America what it means. Come and talk to me. And I was like, but what do I do? Just, hi. And then she's like, I don't know, figure it, get her a drink, do
That's
something.
It. And I'm like, say I'm writing a song and I want to put you in it.
It's like, all you got to do is tell her in advance.
I'll remember that for
now. Give me
time.
A story.
I don't know if I'm that cool, but I'll remember that. I'll work at it.
Just tell her in a band, man.
New politics on The Voice of America. What are you going to sing first?
We are going to sing...
Harlem.
Oh yeah! All right,
we'll save the new one for later.
Okay,
and this is gonna. Anyways,
I'm excited.
Exclusive, first time ever. So
yeah.
All right, here we go.
You ready?
Go, 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 ayo! Go, 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 ayo! Go, 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 ayo! Go, 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 ayo! I spend my money on the regular miracles, just like you, like me, like everybody else. When it's too hot, I light it up.
laughing. And it gets loud, I turn it up.
Oh, shake it like a fat girl up in Harlem.
When it's too hot, I light it up.
Oh, light it up, yeah, smoke you if you got.
When it gets up, I shake it up.
Shake it like a fat girl up in Harlem.
You're so sweet, but I like it rough. On the couch with a flip phone, just like you, like I like fingers in your mouth upon the sun, playing drums with the bleach bone, just like you, like me, like everybody else. Woo! When it gets loud, I turn it up.
Politics. All right. That's a top four hit there on the alternative charts. Huge mega hit. Harlem for the band New Politics, who are on the road. And you say, you know, you're talking about the new album, the third album. So can we talk about it? Are we allowed?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay. So do you have a name for it yet? Or is it in the works?
The last thing that we all agreed on was, because we're such a serious band, we decided that we had to get something really sophisticated and intelligent that only the smart people would understand, and we decided that we would call the album Vikings.
Yep.
Wow.
What do you know, there's a connection.
I'm from the land of the lands of the dove.
Are you gonna have the horns and the
exactly
you know, that's kind of cool. I like that.
A little Led Zeppelin, a little comedy, a little truth, a little
I've been dubbed an honorary.
You're an honorary Viking.
An honorary Viking.
You have your big sword. And
yes.
He's Conan.
He's going to be the one rowing in the boat. That's what the picture should be. Me in front, like, and you steering the wheel, like, and then you rowing. Like this. Yeah.
Now, does this album, is it different in any way from the previous two, or is it more of the same?
I think so. I think the first album was us, you know, just, it's just that energy from us, you know, getting to know each other in Denmark and just going, just writing, you know, we had a very, how would you describe that energy we had there? It was just, you know.
I think it was also a different time.
Yeah, it was definitely a different time.
And so, it was also during that whole period where, like, you know, like, the whole thing of, like, the economy collapse and the terror and this and all that. So I think that had a little bit to do with it as well. It was, like, a little bit of, like, a frustration under the surface, but also we were, I think, just sort of young and angry and wanted to do something with this, and kind of we were just energetic and, you know, like.
And then second one is definitely about the transition from being in Denmark and suddenly being a new place, because we actually didn't know what to write about, and we thought we did. So when we started, we're like, yeah, it's going to take a week, and then we have an album. And then we literally spent over a year because we didn't know what to write about. And that's,
we just had to refine ourselves.
You picked a bad girl.
Yeah. Well, we had to refine ourselves, relocate ourselves, and come to terms with this.
Exactly.
You know, like, build an understanding of it and an agreement on it so that we could write about something.
We wrote over 100 songs, and suddenly, like, out of nowhere, maybe, I don't know how it happened, but suddenly we knew what we was going to, what story we were going to tell. And it was funny when you looked at all the songs afterwards, that, because once in a while there was a song that said, this is pretty good, it's missing something. And then in the end, when we started looking at them, you're like, okay, this is it. It's actually because all the songs that we are picking out as being good, they are, they're about the transition, the new place we actually live. All of a sudden, and
all these
and
little experiences.
The new album is definitely, you know, it's about, we actually, I think for the first time, we have
you know, we're in a spot where the songs did come easy for us because we knew exactly what to write about, and it's that we have experienced so many things in 2 years that there was unlimited resources of, you know, for what to write about and what styles we want to do, because we already knew how New Politics sounds, you know, that we already had that kind of locked down somewhere in our minds.
Yeah, we also learn a lot about each other.
Yeah. Right.
You know, it's like, also like, once we released the second album, we never technically stopped writing. It was like I realized that, like, a lot. Like, from the first album, once we had that first album, we just expected all these things because everyone was behind us, and it was so refreshing, and everyone was just going to back it up. And we went on the road for, like, a year and a half, and we never touched writing. We just, like, you know, we never, like, looked at a song. So when we started again, we were, like, new people in a different place, you know, like, so when we started writing, it was almost like we were writing, like, back in Denmark.
Mm-hmm.
Like, every song was kind of blah, blah,
diary. Some of those.
It took so long to refine it. Mm-hmm. So when we found that, we just always stay creative. When we're on the road all of this past 2 years, we've just, even though it's small snippets and small ideas or maybe something, you move forward with it, because letting go is also just as important as to move forward, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, like, those sort of things were, like, I think we just did it right. We just kind of, we basically hit rock bottom.
Yeah. Oh,
so that there was no formula to it. It was just music in the end. Just right, just like an honest rawness, you know.
That's just as important though too, is like hitting rock bottom as it is finding success, because then you really know what it's like to, you know, to not have anything. And I think that was a big
healthy rock bottom, not
healthy rock bottom, bro. You talk about the ramen and
ramen and white bread.
Thank God
for ramen noodles. We owe our lives to them.
Yeah, definitely.
If you're out there,
and to your dad too. Oh my God, that was a tough period.
Yeah.
5 months without a phone, couldn't even pay a phone bill. Like, really, really poor. We didn't even know that I'm
in a bedroom apartment, railroad.
Living in Brooklyn, New York, which is
Bushwick.
I mean,
ooh, when that winter came, it was like extra hard.
Like, really,
it really caves in on you, like concrete.
I think going through something like that also gives you, you really get to appreciate when things are going well. Definitely.
Yeah, there's a lot to be gained from the tough times, surviving the tough times.
I'm really looking forward to this album, because I think this is like, everyone that has been with us from day one, if it's our family, friends, if it's our management, you know, our label, RCA, our new label, you know, that now are going to, like, take this, you know, with us to the next level, and, you know, all the new friends that we've made, and people that have supported us, like, from on radio, this, whatever, you know, like, our fans especially, you know, it's like, this is like a celebration of that struggle, that love, that all that, like, that emotional ride that we've gone through. And it's like, you know, that feeling has just put us, like, on cloud nine. And it's like, you know, we feel so, there's also a side of us that feels very confident. We're ready now. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like we have something to give. And it's like, and that feeling is like, you know, feeling, they deserve it, we deserve it. And, you know, we want to share with them, and they know also who to come to if they want that. You know, it's like we're on that boat now, you know that.
There's nothing more exciting than starting the next chapter.
Totally.
Yes,
and that's
absolutely
what it sounds like. So New Politics are here. With that, I'm going to lead into the song you said you wanted to sing and unveil for the first time ever.
So this
international broadcast.
First time ever. So we forgive you in advance.
Please forgive us.
What's this called?
Everywhere. the name of the song is Everywhere I Go.
Everywhere
Kings
I Go.
Kings and Queens.
Yeah, parentheses, Kings and Queens.
Everybody wants to stay high, so you know I got it if you want it. This one's for everyone that said I'm nothing. This one's for my friends that don't give it up. So if you don't give it up, sing!
Everywhere I go,
I'm higher than United
I got pride in the fences. You know this life, it can be hectic. Now, it might seem like a death wish, being so young and reckless. And now, everybody wants to get by, by, by. I got holes in my pockets, everybody wants to say hi. So you know, I got it if you want it. This one's for everyone that said I'm nothing. And this one's for my friends that don't give it up. So if you don't give it up, sing!
Everywhere I go,
I'm higher than United, fly with me,
Everybody knows,
woo! There's no sleep to Brooklyn, no sleep,
We get high, we get by, yeah, we roll with it.
This one's for the accidental lovers. And this one's for the ones who are not in love. To my ex, to my mom, to my dad and the teacher, my cops and the God, oh my God, all the preach, all the give and the take and the give. Now we've given enough, is enough, so just sing.
Everywhere I go,
I'm higher than United, fly with me,
We get by, yeah, we roll with it. We've been up, we've been down, we got over it. Everywhere we go,
hey, we're the kings and queens, and we run this city.
Brand new from New Politics. They've been on Kimmel. They've been on Fallon. And now they're here on The Voice of America. Thank you guys so much.
Thank
for
you
this.
So much.
Thanks
for
having us.
Any idea when the new album's coming out? Do you guys have a target?
I think we are aiming for very early next year, very January, February.
Early spring, hopefully. Yeah.
And again, the website for the international crowd is?
NewPoliticsRock.com.
.com. We're on Twitter, New Politics, Instagram, New Politics Rock. Wow.
Yeah.
And Facebook and everything else.
And international touring in 2015 after the new album.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Absolutely.
I know we're going to Japan,
I know
actually.
Japan, going to Australia as well. And
fantastic.
And then we'll be back in Europe, definitely. Hopefully South America. Yeah. I'd really like that.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
We played Russia last year in Mexico.
What was that like? Did you enjoy it?
Amazing. It's so wild to, land on a plane and you have no idea what to expect, and then there's just, fans
people.
Out at the airport. Yeah. And you're like, whoa.
And the differences
in the
crowd.
You know the album isn't released, or how do they hear that? You
right.
Know, and
they find
the
it. They find it.
Totally.
If it's out there, they'll find it.
Yeah, I don't think, music fans love music no matter where.
The same?
Yeah. I think so. When you're at the show and maybe you, you know what? Music fans are the same all over the world. I want to say that. Mm-hmm. And you know, when I bought my CDs and I would go to, you know, to see shows, it was the same thing. You know, there's music. I was equally as crazy crowd surfing and mosh pitting and everything, just like everywhere else in America.
Well, after you play Japan, promise me you'll come back. We'll
absolutely.
Talk about it then.
We'd love that.
I want to hear your thoughts about Japan when you play there.
Oh, definitely.
That would be awesome. It's a different
thank
kind of
so
crowd.
Much.
And they're listening. They're listening to us right now. So, thank
cool.
you guys. I appreciate you coming on the show.
Thank you.
Man. Thanks
New Politics.
Us.
What a pleasure having them on. My name is Larry London. Thanks to the whole crew for putting together today's program. This is Border Crossings on the VOA Music Mix Network.
Join Larry on Facebook at facebook.com/VOA Larry London.
Radio Tavisupleba FM 107.4.
Radio Tavisupleba FM 107.4.
Ყოველ დღე 24 საათსა და 5 წუთზე გთავაზობთ 9:00-საათიან სომხურ პროგრამას.
Ամենօր Թբիլիսի ժամանակով 22:00-ից մինչև 22:30-ը ձեզ ենք առաջարկում Ազատություն ռադիոկայանի հայկական ծառայության պատրաստած հաղորդումը։
Լսեք մեզ 107.4 հաճախականությամբ։
Գույս մինետ ყოველ დღე FM 107.4